card from the guy you were that you were prospecting, who ended up prospecting you and selling you that book?
Yeah.
Well, it was hard to tell who the prospect was.
Look, I got it right here. Good. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. Well, actually, I did want to know the thing about the honey.
Yeah. Okay.
But I also know that it didn't take very long to figure out that he's a guy who likes to just kind of know stuff but not do much with it. At least in what we're doing, he does lots of things, and he's a pretty credible guy, and he's kind of an interesting fellow, but you wouldn't make much of a distributor.
No.
Because he's more into things and processes than he is to people.
That's true.
So, whatever.
Well, you didn't get a hold of Thor today, Tora?
Well, no, because I kept looking at the front of this card going, why do I have that? I'm trying to find him, so I'm going to call him tomorrow. I got to get a hold of him tomorrow because I just found the card again. But it got all stacked up, too many calls, too many people.
I believe it. You're a busy man.
3 minutes to burp. That's the problem when you come into this weekend thing. Everybody wants to talk to you all day long. Have you all found that to be true?
Not yet.
Oh, not yet. Okay, well, that's coming. I'm working on it.
We're not quite as popular as you.
You will be. In fact, that's my big goal, is that you will, just like Luke Skywalker became more than Yoda. All right, I'm calling up my little deal here. I got to make sure I've got this with this one. And time this week?
Awesome.
When I went to Boki the other day, there was a couple of ladies there that seemed 14 prize. I think that was amazing. Now you're getting the deal here. You have to explain, but we'll get our number. I need to go to there and here.
And who was that that had all the prospects?
Rhonda.
What meeting was that, Jerry?
That was the one with being a part of the observing squad than to be under the hot light. And that's, we're laid out to be. I keep getting our people trying to get on the call. I doubt that. I got about four calls that came in there, so they shall leave messages however they need to leave messages, because you all are the priority. So welcome, everybody. I've heard lots of people beeping in. We'll be doing our roll call. This is the Pathfinder 1 call, West Coast version, and we're now into our third week. And in our third work week, we're looking at the working together as a team, but also beginning to set some habits. In our habits, we're now beginning to listen to CDs, and we're reading a book, and we're going to share some information on that. What are we gaining? What have we learned from that book tonight? And we're beginning to start to use the systems available to us. Well, the first week, we talked some about how do you pique somebody's interest and get them to the point where they'd say, yeah, you know what, I'd like to maybe learn some more about that company called Meekin. I like to work in what's called competencies, and when you become extremely competent at anything, you're going to tend to be able to do that even when life gets stressed. And in fact, if you get stressed, you fall back on earlier skills that you learned in life. And this is something that we used to study in physical therapy, that if a kid, for example, gets a whole lot of stress in their life, they might fall back to wetting their bed. And we don't necessarily want you all to wet the bed here. So what we're going to do is teach you some alternative skills and strategies so that if you get out there in the world and you go, geez, these people aren't being friendly to me today, we want you to fall back onto strategies that really that you can use to work. In the course of our course, this Pathfinder 1 course, we're going to be taking this group of 9 people and having them hunker down and work together to reach the rank of silver or above in the next 1 to 4 months. And in that process, it is not always easy, but it will be incredibly worth it. We come to the table and we're looking for what people can do, not what they can't do. We'll be every week reviewing a part of a book or a book that we've read as a group. What did we learn? How does it fit into our Niken lives? The group that's here, if we took up all the time that they've been involved with Niken, averages about 6 months in the business. That means that there's people here who are just now getting out of the chute, and there are people here with some experience, but once they started in this class, they all started at the same place. We ask them each to go out every week and to find at least 5 people for whom they can do a presentation we call an ABC. Now, the ABC is where the A could be a video or an audio. It could be a wellness preview where someone gets a chance to really see Niken. It might be using the products and having the ability to say, gee, that works well for me, or I'm not sure if it does much. Anything that we can do as a presentation where we're using a tool or another person to make a presentation so that the prospect can say yes, no, or I'd like more information. If we can get to that point, then we get to count that. At the end of the week, we keep track. This is an accountability group. It's to keep us on track for our home-based businesses as we're developing them, and to teach these people to be the leaders of tomorrow, to be professionals at this idea of being Niken. It probably is the first time there's ever been a series of courses that have been designed to teach people to lead in this field called network marketing. It's going to be more important every year that we be good at what we do. So these are the trailblazers. That's why we call them pathfinders. And we start out by asking our completes and incompletes, and I'm just going to start at the top of the list that I have written down here, and that's Jannie Martin. Are you complete or incomplete for the week?
I'm complete.
Way to go!
Yeehaw!
Woo!
Okay, Sherry, are you complete or incomplete?
I'm completely complete.
Wow! This is a good start. Okay, Rich. Okay, Rich, can you star 4 so we can hear you more clearly? He is complete. We'll take it.
Woo-hoo.
Totally cool. Ron, complete or
incomplete?
Complete. Okay, Marcia.
I am complete plus 15.
Whoa!
Wow. Absolutely awesome.
Hey, Marcia, can you step back from the phone and do a couple of flex poses for us?
Actually, Jerry, Kathy signed up today.
Yee-hee!
All right. Do you think we all should just sort of close this out, or in a minute should we ask Marcia how she did all that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we need to ask her.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll do that in just a minute. And Peggy, complete or incomplete?
Now, are we talking about the homework or the other? I'm sorry, we came in a little late.
Oh. Okay, Peggy, after you get done with your 20 push-ups, let's just see if we can clarify this. What? In order to be complete, you have to have done the reading, listen to the tape, listen to the Texas call. So that's on teamutah.org. And to do 5 ABCs.
I'm incomplete because I didn't even realize we were supposed to listen to the Texas call.
Okay.
So
do you have anybody that's in your family that's close to you within maybe 3 or 4 feet now?
Yes, I do.
Would you just whack on them for a second just to get your frustrations out there?
Okay.
I imagine there are some other people who had forgotten that it was real important for us to get this Texas call in, and let's just go over that, because I think it's going to be, it usually takes about 3 or 4 weeks for most groups to get that point, and I'm not sure why it's always this way, but it is. It's on the commitment form. The Texas call is a group of people, 9 of them, who are going through exactly the same thing that this group common experience with the other Pathfinders around the world, because every one of the groups that meets like this around the world is listening to that call as well and getting a perspective on what those people are doing. You can access this at Team Utah, UTAH.org, TeamUtah.org. Go to the left-hand column and click on Pathfinders. Go to the P1 call. We're in week number 2 right now. There was the setup call and then week 1, week 2. This week we would have listened to the week 2 call. Next week we'll listen to the week 3 call. And what's nice about having them archived on that site is you can choose any time throughout the week to go pick that up. So there you all have it. And Fran, complete or incomplete? Now I know that Fran is traveling to a place where there's not real good cell phone reception, so she may not be able to check in with us. And Linda?
Complete.
Awesome.
Woo-hoo!
What a squad. You guys, the only reason that you do all of this is just because there's not a one of you that doesn't want to be haired over, right?
We all want to be haired over. We think we're peach fuzzed right now.
Dave and Rhonda?
I have to say incomplete, I guess.
Okay. Now, what's really cool about going through all of these things is to be able to have people say incomplete. One of the reasons that this is such a big deal to go complete or incomplete, certainly we want to make the effort to be complete, and one day we want to be like Burley and Studley, like Marcia was today. And we're going to find out about that, too. But why we need to be complete and incomplete. Incomplete, we're going to talk about it all night long. Incomplete, you just simply say incomplete. Because as we've grown up and when we're in our environments in school and all the other things that we do, we get preconditioned to believe that there's good and there's bad. And you don't do bad. And you're not allowed to get the answer wrong. Well, if you read much about making money, and, well, Robert Kiyosaki wrote one of the best books of all time in that called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, followed up by Cash Flow Quadrant. He says that if you continue on a path where you believe that there's a good and a bad and a right and a wrong when you go to work every day, when you're going out to create something new, you will never create anything new. You'll just cower in the corner. So as we make our shot at getting things done during the week, then we've got to come and fess up. For some people, they would rather have leprosy than to come on the call and say incomplete. Well, you know, whatever drives you. But in order to get a true reading as a group on how effective the things are that we're doing, we need to know the real answers, complete or incomplete. We need to review those things that work, and we need to understand the frustrations that block people from getting through to that complete. It is one of the first competencies. I'm going to go back and review my competencies now. And once you become aware of these competencies, I think we're going to try to clear the slate very quickly and get to where we're bringing people into NECAN. Previously, as we did our pre-1 groups, oftentimes this complete and incomplete with 5 ABCs became such a focal point that people would do nothing else. They would just panic to try to get 5 people to listen. Listen, Bob, if you just sit down here and I can tell you this thing for a couple of minutes, then you can tell me to go suck eggs and die, but at least I'll have my 5 and I'll have to go complete. And that became their whole life. Well, what we want is we want other people joining you in this unbelievable, magnificent adventure called NECAN that will change your lives, their lives, and everybody's, and tens of thousands of people to follow. We want to get through a sequence of events that helps them to become fully informed, because when they become fully informed, it's pretty hard to keep them out. We don't just want to be complete or incomplete. We want to have these people fully informed. We want to keep them coming to the through the pipeline to fill up our teams and to grow. You all agree with that?
Yes. Yeah.
So complete and incomplete is a part of what we do, and we got to get there, and we've got to make sure we're doing it because we're going to win this. But the bigger picture is we've got to begin to grow as a group. If all 9 of you brought one person during a week as a brand new person into this business, How many would we have in the second week?
18.
We'd have 18. And then if all of those people brought one in the third week, we'd have 36. And if all of those people brought one in the fourth week, we'd have 72. Wouldn't it be cool to have this group representing 72 people who are listening on this call line in 1 month?
Awesome.
And why doesn't it happen? Mostly because we get up, we look around the corner, we see our reflection in the mirror, and then we crawl back down in the hole and wait till spring comes. We're scaring ourselves to death. We're not going to do that anymore. So we're going to learn these competencies. Competency number one is, how do you get somebody's interest in Nikan? And we're going to find out how Marcia got people's interest. So, Marcia,
yeah.
How the heck did you get to that point?
Well, I got there with help. You helped me. It started out on Thursday when I brought my friend Kathy. I was going to take her to the Walker's Preview, and then I met with you at the hour before that at, where was it?
It was Fred Meyer's.
Yeah, Fred
Meyer's.
you shared with her and talked to her, and then we left you, and then we went to the Preview, and on the way home, she said that she wanted to buy products. So today she did. She signed up and bought the Gravity Water and the Optimizer, and then some Greenzymes for her son. She's going to start out slow with him.
Now, how much did I ask her to be a member and to do all that when I was talking to her?
You didn't ask her at all.
Was that a surprise to you?
No.
Because that's not what she came for, right?
Right. No, she came for information.
So we gave her information, and it's such a powerful story, Nikan. She couldn't avoid it. She just passed the IQ test, right?
She did. Well, you know what's even more amazing is, and I put a sleep system under her son, and I called the next day to see, because if you remember that first night, he stayed away for 4 hours before going to sleep. So I called to see how the night went, and her husband spoke with me, and this is probably the only time this is ever going to happen in my whole life, but he actually thanked me for bringing the water products into their home and said that his wife, you know, had his blessing to purchase them. And to me, that was just amazing.
Wow.
You know, most husbands would, you know, not like me for having them spend money. But he thanked me, so that was really cool. And then the very next day, she had her newly married daughter and son-in-law over, and they're real anxious to come to a Preview. And the son-in-law has a bad back and doesn't sleep well, so we'll get him to a Preview. But, you know, it certainly was with the help of you and the Walkers.
And it was basically three ways. It was somebody else doing the presentation, right?
Exactly.
And is that a departure from the norm for you?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Carrying the whole bag of rocks by yourself, right?
Right. Exactly. And I really, just last week, I mean, I'm just understanding more the value of it. And then on Saturday, I did that Earth Fair in Chihuahua, and I did that with my daughter, Lisa, who's also a consultant. And one of my downline and one of my almost downline, Joe, and then Jerry surprised me, and he showed up for that, just miraculously. And watching him and his catchphrases to pull people into the booth was not only amazing but truly inspirational. And it was a true teaching moment for me and my daughter, and actually for my downline, Trish, too. We were just amazed at the things he would say that would draw people in.
Well, for example, what were those?
Well, like there was one man that Jerry said, "You look like you've been dragged in here by your wife." And he had been. And he told Jerry that he was a psychic, you know. And he just asked people, you know, what had they learned, or, you know, had they learned a lot, or...
Well, here's the philosophy behind just that little section, because I was the one that was thinking about it when I threw these things out. What do you, if you were cruising along at a Earth Fair, looking around, doing stuff, and somebody from a booth pops talking to you, what do you suppose they probably want?
I want to tell you something.
How many of you like to be sold?
Not me.
Nobody.
You love to buy stuff, but you hate to sell, right?
Right.
Or you hate to be sold. So what I was doing was opening up conversations that had nothing to do with the booth. So I would open up a conversation with somebody by saying, all right, somebody forced you to be here. Who was it? Or I would say, what have you learned so far as you've gone around from place to place? It usually throws them off because they're being engaged in a friendly conversation that's not really all that threatening. I'm interested in their answer. But what am I gaining when they answer the question?
Friendship.
Mm-hmm. What was that second one?
Was it friendship or trust? Or
okay, and Ron's particularly an expert at that. It's amazing to watch Ron work. Who else has an idea? What am I gaining when I ask the question about what did they learn?
Well, you're getting information of why they're there and what they're interested in.
Ooh. Yeah, wouldn't that be useful? If I can understand why they're there and what they're interested in, and they tell it to me, can you see how that's easier than if you're out there shotgunning them, trying to figure out by the way they look, the way they comb their hair, and what you're supposed to say to them cold.
Yeah.
And then, so can you all imagine yourself if I sent you out in a booth and they had you asking questions like that, and you can you see how you could be absolutely rapt in attention at what their answers are going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just kind of like, wow, I'm totally interested in what you're going to tell me here.
Like maybe you're listening for success?
Wow. That's a segue. You guys are good. But, Marcia, are there any other things that you picked up before we move on?
Other things I picked up.
So when we engaged people there, why don't you talk about what happened with Tora and how all that worked out.
Well, I'm not...
David and Tora.
Oh, it's David, not John? Okay. David and Tora, how did it work out? Well, number one, we found out that...
when did they come to the booth?
When it was over.
We were the only one that had anything out at all.
We were. And I was proud of myself because I snagged them in and then delivered them to you.
And how did you open the conversation?
Yeah, I don't even remember. Do you remember?
Well, it was very similar. I can't remember exactly, but I knew what I knew was that by that time you were much more confident in talking to them.
Right, very much. And then we found out that we lived in the same place in California, and all four of us. And then you got them to talk a lot about what their need was with their grandson and, gave them a lot of good information.
Are you all hearing this? We're at a booth, and people are coming by and looking at our wares. Did you notice how much we talked about Nikan?
You just made friends.
Right. Just made conversation.
Would people be more interested in talking about themselves or something that you've got? Give them an opportunity, they want to talk about themselves. And if you give them the ideas to figure out how this can apply to themselves, pretty interesting stuff.
It was, yeah, because they weren't looking for our product.
What do you think they were looking for?
Well, friendship, for one. I know Tora mentioned how people are cold to her because she's from California, and she doesn't understand why Washingtonians don't like Californians. And anyway, she grew up a lot in Spokane, so she considers herself someone from Washington. But I think they were looking for outdoor stuff, too. You know, I don't think that they were looking for a solution to their grandson's problem.
But because you let him talk enough, as we mentioned last week, if you ask enough questions and listen, people will tell you why they need to be sponsored.
That's right.
And they are good prospects.
They are very good.
Recently retired, moved up from California, made enough money on the sale of their house. They don't have to work. Looking for something. He's a very, both of them are very delightful and credible people who said, whatever I believe in strongly, I go after with all I can muster, and this would be a blast. And then they told me about everything and everybody for the next hour and something while I was
right.
making some CDs
well,
for them.
And then what did they tell you? They said anything you prescribed, they would buy.
Wow.
So, are you all ready to go out and do I don't even think I told him I was a physical therapist either.
No, I don't think you did.
Which is really good, because I'm getting better at not bringing that up. So, did you all learn from that experience?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's go right into our book for the week, or the last 2 weeks. You guys got lucky. No one's ever even had 2 weeks to read that book before. So, Ron, what did you pick up out of the book?
Well, I've only got to the first 5 pages of it. It's, you know, I've been working, getting home at midnight because of my construction, but I know that's no excuse. But I pretty much on the first few pages, it's a lot like what Danny says in the script, you know, and I liked it, what I've read. And I haven't had a chance to get through this book, but I'm pretty excited about reading it. I just haven't had the time.
Now I want to see how mean the rest of you have become. Because he was not able to complete it this week, should we let Ron off and not have to read the book as we move into our next week?
No way. Absolutely not. He needs to read the book.
Yeah, see, look at how mean Marcia's gotten now.
I even took this book to the swim meet this weekend, a 3-day weekend, and I got hooked into Head Timer. And I actually had no time whatsoever. I was standing on my feet all weekend, and I got irritated,
let's
be honest.
Let's put positive on this one, because that's what we care about, not the negative. And the positive was that Ron was actually doing what Ron does best. He was so busy, because I was at the meet watching, he was so busy talking to people, interacting, enjoying other people and making a difference in their life, and shall we say, prospecting, that I will say that prospecting and being in front of other people trumps reading every day.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you agree?
Yes.
I had about 5 people that I actually confronted to meet with you, and because I work with their kids all the time, and that was my only opportunity because I had 2 stopwatches in my hand, and as I
well, yep, and so with all of that, you did it anyway. So
yep.
Let's see, Jenny, what did you come up with out of the book? Anything good?
It taught me to slow down and take the time to stop and listen, because a lot of times I'm in a hurry, you know, I say hi, we have a friendly exchange, but it's usually, I'm thinking about what I've got to go do next, or I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next, and I just learned to stop and shut up and take the time to listen and really care about what they had to say.
That's totally cool. But one of the things I want Rich to kind of throw in his 2 cents words on this, and one of the things I know is that when I throw something out there, Rich will usually call me back and say, you know, I'm picking up this, and he applies it. Rich is one of those people that doesn't just sort of internalize stuff. He applies it, and he applies it quickly. So what did you get, and did you have any chance to apply, Rich?
Yes. I read the whole book. I use it immediately with my kids and my wife. And then especially the argument part, that came in very handy. And what really got to me was the multi-level listening for the behaviors, or the underlying this is what people are trying to tell you rather than just the words, because that's what Arthur was saying, for that about 6,000 meetings, if you have to go right to the root cause of what they're trying to express. A couple people I was prospecting, one of them, she had issues with her father growing up. And I don't know, I was just like, tell me more about how you feel, and doing all the things that the book was like explaining, and makes you know, just throwing the onion back, and just going deeper and deeper. And she felt better at the end of the day, and was ready to go to meet him with me, and just kind of like go through a second preview type deal. She's already been introduced to the product, and so beyond that, though, I think I gain more respect as a friend and a person who listens out of the whole thing, rather than just trying to sell a product or a business.
Do you think we can sometimes get busy enough that we'll actually forget some of the principles in this book?
Mm-hmm.
So we may need to come back and check it out or remind ourselves as we go through it again.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Becky, what do you think about the book?
I think that I've read the book before, and I've been told to read it repeatedly. Often as I can, and it just reminds me to make this all about the other person. It's not about what I feel, it's not about what I know, it's about getting to know the other person and going from there.
Great. Linda?
Well, I've learned that listening is really powerful. I'm try not to wait for my turn to speak, and try not to judge. You know, a lot of times I do judge the prospect from the outside, but as I take the time to just stand there and listen, ask questions, and I think it really helps me to get a whole new perspective of that person in particular, and I'm trying to use it more with my family. And I believe that humble people do this so well, and I want to be one of those people that it does take the time that you look at them and you say, you know, they're very kind and they have this, I don't know, a way about them with people, and that's what I'm trying to learn.
I'm really with you on that one. I second that wholeheartedly. Dave and Rhonda, what about your perspective on the book?
I thought it was excellent. It's totally opposite of what I naturally want to do, but I got to several opportunities to implement it, and it works well, and people like to talk.
Well, here's an example of why you want to know about this book, an example of why you really want to step up and be a part of what this is doing. And it's it came up when we had a new distributor, who I'm surprised isn't on this call. We're going to have to add her. Well, by the way, just so I don't forget, there will be a new team starting at 7:30 instead of 8:30 like your call, that will be starting next month, so the first week in May, Monday night, and they'll just be a couple of weeks behind you, actually a full month behind. And so if you've got people that are coming into your team, they're just getting up and ready to go, and you want to have them considered, let's make sure you kind of keep your eye on the emails. We'll send them out there, and let's get some more people in your group, because there's nothing, I mean, it's pretty great to go through this and do all the learning, but it's even better when your people start to go through it and do the learning. Here's an example where I just happened to stumble on a place where this worked perfectly. One of our new gals came in, and she was very, very excited. She had a friend that decided she wanted to sign up for Nikan and buy a water system. Well, she's one of those people, and as you go through and listen, there's a guy named Jim Rohn who gives us, he's got a CD we'll listen to down the road, and a tremendous, tremendous CD. But in one of the sections he said, there's only really 6 or 8 real nasty, crappy people in the world, but they get around a lot, so you're likely to run into them. And this lady just sort of happened to wander into our lives, and she came to a wellness preview. But she came to the wellness preview with a chip on her shoulder and wanted to argue about guarantees. And she brought a friend. And the only reason she brought a friend was because the friend was medical and was going to, it was her purpose was to pick apart everything anybody said. So this excited new person brought this gal to dinner, and it was a tough situation. She's going, well, now what do we do? Getting ready to go to the wellness preview dinner before. It could be a really fun time. But if you, the negative lady, she was in her element. She knew how to be negative. She'd been that way since she was, it was in her DNA. You know, it's just, that's what her job is, be negative. And that can really take those sales, the wind out of the sails of your new distributors. Can you all imagine now being mentors of somebody who's all excited and they bring somebody whose job it is to be negative?
Mm-hmm.
So what can you do as the leader? Well, here's what you can do in this work. And if you think about the book that you just read, if she says, all right, you guys, what's the guarantee on this stuff? Can you all feel sort of a little wiggle in you just saying, oh, man, I hope nobody asked me that question?
Mm-hmm. I guess, well, you'd say, why do you ask?
That's, you're amazing.
Woohoo!
If you ask that question, what do you get?
You find out what she's afraid of.
And
what she...
Can you see how it would put her in an entire... If she's used to attacking everybody and everything all the time, and you'd say, well, why do you ask?
Yeah.
And she's ready for people to throw their hands up and run around and scream and yell and go crazy.
Yeah.
Why is that important to you, or what would you like to see in a guarantee?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, can you all see how that diffuses the issue very quickly?
Yeah, you're basically meeting her at her needs, and you're trying to help her rather than slam her in the face with what you have and going at her in the wrong direction. You're basically, like I say, meeting her instead of taking the wrong approach.
And this is so common. Let's say you're talking to somebody and making you're inviting somebody to take a look at NECAN, and they go, is this network marketing? Can you see how some new people might kind of freak out with that question?
Yeah.
So what is something we could ask instead?
What do you mean by network marketing?
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And see, get an idea of what their mind is, kind of what are they wrapping around. What's another thing you might ask them?
Have you had a bad experience with network marketing?
That's a question, sure, you can do that. But, Marcy, I want you to ask that same question and to make the glass half full instead of half empty.
You must have had a bad experience? No.
Anybody help her out on that? Linda, how would you make that statement glass half full?
I say, yes, it is. I'm so excited that it is. Have you heard of some really good companies? Well, this
that's,
is it.
Yeah, you can be excited. That's a perfect response. Rhonda, what comes to your mind?
Nothing.
Nothing. Just don't ever ask me that question in public, and I'll be cool, right? You know, another question you might ask is, do you like network marketing?
Mm.
Oh. Did you know that there's some people go, yeah? It makes total sense to me. In fact, one of the better presenters I ever met, at least right out of the chute, just got it right off the bat, was Rich Bella, who's on your call. And Rich, if somebody would ask you early on if you like network marketing, what would you have said?
I love it. Initially, I'd probably, like I said, I'd ask them more about what they're trying to do in life. Go back to them, as far as what they do for a living.
So you see how you could all miss Rich if you freaked out and thought that that was a negative question? here's a way you can handle that is to basically somebody goes, is this network marketing? And say, do you like network marketing? And they go, no. And you say, you're going to love this. And if they say, and you say, do you like network marketing? And they say, yes. And you say, then you're going to love this.
Same answer.
Isn't it true?
Yeah.
Cool stuff. Okay, now let's, the other assignment that we had this week was listening to a CD. Anybody remember what the name of the CD was?
Pictures of Men.
Pictures of Men by Pastor Ed Weems. Did he seem like a pastor?
Yes. Can I get an amen on that?
Okay, let's go through and find out who got something out of that tape. Well, let's go through it here. Ron, did you get a chance to listen to that one?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so you don't have your kit yet?
No.
Okay, well, let's get together on that tomorrow so we make sure you have all those pieces, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Linda, did you get yours?
I don't have the kit, but I borrowed the CD, or the DVD, and I've seen it before.
Like that.
And he has a list of, like, going where the fish are. And having the right tools to fish. Be subtle when you're fishing. I mean, there's a whole list. I won't go into all of them, but I wrote down all of them as we went along and thought about each one, and it's great.
Awesome. Peggy, what'd you get for the CD? Are you there, Peggy?
Sorry about that. I had muted it. We had stuff going on here. No, I didn't have a chance to listen to it this week.
Peggy, should we let you off so you don't have to listen to it next week?
No, absolutely not. I need to get it done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so then now that Ron has to read the rest of his book, you have to listen to that CD.
And Ron needs to read it.
No, I absolutely will.
All right, so now you all are getting sort of the tenor of this.
I feel real studly now. I'm going.
Yeah, but I bet it makes you stronger.
Yeah, I'm going to be real strong this week. Yeah, I feel my bicep. Wow. There you got
so good. I love this game. Okay, then let's find out, Jenny, what did you get from the CD?
I like where he talks about piquing somebody's interest, not throwing the barbecue behind the boat and, throwing something out there, finding their need first, just like, you know, it ties in with the book. Find their need and don't just throw the product information.
Uh-huh. Then, let's see. Let's go to... Rich, what did you pick up out of that CD?
I picked up that Jesus was the best network marketer out there. No, but I also picked up that, like, he used a lot of examples, of which was very colorful, like during the Hog Rally, how they used the product experience and they didn't like attack it right there and then. They let them kind of absorb it, you know, like what had happened. So that they confronted the question rather than you all saying, hi, you feel the difference, you know, happens to me. And just kind of like circling the wagon a few more times before allowing them to, the prospect to just kind of absorb everything and bring up the question first.
Terrific. Absolutely awesome. And let's see if I can get here. I got to make sure I'm staying on my list of people. And, Rhonda, did you get that one in?
Yes, I did.
Awesome. How'd you like it?
I liked it.
What were some of the things that popped out to you?
Well, I enjoyed the whole thing. It encouraged me just to get out and start talking to people and being more outgoing. I'm a very shy, quiet person, so it's hard. It's a big change for me. But I'm excited about it, and I want to do it.
And does you're getting started, it's like sort of grabbing onto the tail of the comet. And it feels like things are really going to rip your arm out of the socket when you do this. Are you feeling like you're getting the pacing down? It will be a little crazy here at first, but do you feel like this is kind of settling in some?
What was that again?
Do you feel like the pacing's going okay? You're coming along with this, or does it feel like it's still going at a whirlwind pace and there's so much stuff coming at you?
Very much so. It's a whirlwind. It's a big change for me, being a stay-at-home, homeschooling mom and now having this to do. It feels like a very full day.
Okay, and so that's why we need support from other places. But one of the things that happens when somebody like Rhonda, who's got all this stuff going on and being a mom, doing the whole thing with just now getting healthy for the first time in a long time, and trying to get the word out, trying to start some other things up, we have to be sensitive to the fact that people already had every minute spoken for by the time they came into this group. But our job is to create inspiring stories that say, because Rhonda, you've always wanted to do this. When I was your age, we had to walk to school with no shoes in the snow, and it was uphill quick.
Was it 5 or 10 miles?
Yeah. That's what we're really going through here. And so I remember back when I first started physical therapy school, and normally this was a ridiculously competitive group of people. Because in order to get into physical therapy school when I got there, there were 2,100 applicants for 20 positions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine that these people, when you're sitting next to them in classes in the pre-PT stuff, everybody looked at everyone else like they were a Russian spy. Because they were going to ruin the curve, or they were going to be the person that beat you out of getting to, or getting on the team, getting selected to be in the school. And I was in the second year that they ran it at Eastern Washington here. And in the first year, I got to observe a very interesting phenomenon, and that was that if it's not handled properly, when you come into an environment like this where it's going to be an extreme stressor to switch your life to something at a much higher level, what happened was that they had a new faculty, and some of them were feeling their wild oats. And in this faculty, there were a couple of people on campus who had been teaching physiology and anatomy to normal, everyday undergraduates. All of a sudden, they became professors who got an opportunity to teach at a pseudo-medical school. Well, they thought they were all that in a bag of chips. So there was a rule that was made, they knew about it, that if you got below a C in any course that was outside the program, so in the program that meant that we all met downtown Spokane up in the third floor of the Paulson building, and we did all of our specific to physical therapy medical courses there, but there were a few of them, like physiology and anatomy, that had to be taken on campus out at the campus for Eastern Washington University. Now, the on-campus classes, if you got a D, you were immediately out of the program. So here's what those two profs did. They started grading on a curve, and it turned out that 92% was a D.
Wow.
And what we saw was that the class in front of my class started axe murdering each other and doing whatever they could to push somebody else down so that they could stay up and survive the 92% curve.
Hey, Jerry, you're saying that because I was going to say you must have broke all but 19 of them's leg and they needed you to fix
what? What I got a chance to do was to be in the next class behind them. And when we came in, I observed that pretty quickly, being a coach and looking at how things had to be to survive some pretty strenuous stuff. So the first thing I did was ask permission to run a weekend retreat and shift the gears, because we were coming in with this incredibly competitive group of people who were after each other, and we had to switch them from that to a group of people who, just like this call, are going to band together to make sure everybody gets over the wall. We had to shift that feeling. And so what, one of the reasons that I brought that up with Rhonda was because I just knew that Rhonda's plate is more full than any four average men could muster up and get done. But I guess that's the lot of a mother.
And yes, it is.
To help all of us realize that there will be times when some people excel. This week was Marcia with Complete Plus 15, and she's feeling like she's totally rocking. But there may be something that comes along down the road where she's going, you know, my canteen ran out of water about 8 miles back, and I'm
absolutely
toasted. Some of you will excel at some things, and some will excel at others. Some will pull the pack and be the front goose that's breaking the aerodynamics so that everybody else can follow behind. But what you're going to learn through this process, as much a struggle as it is, have you ever, any of you on this call, ever been able to make six-figure incomes without some struggle?
Absolutely not.
No.
And we're going to do it in a way that's going to be more exciting, more fun, more rewarding, and more autopilot eventually. But in order to get this craft off the ground, we're going to have to expend some pretty ridiculous amounts of energy, and we've got to hang together, and we've got to support one another all the way up the line. So keep your eyes and ears out for other people on the group that you can connect with and say, how are we doing on this? Now, here's the habits that you're going to establish for the future, because you're going to have downline people in the future who are going to get into the doldrums and the dry spots and that sort of stuff. One of the rules of Pathfinders, we absolutely don't care what you can't do. Don't talk about it. Don't bring it to the call. Don't be talking to each other about what you can't do. It has no bearing. It's negative. It takes everything down the wrong way. If you didn't do it, for whatever reason, you just didn't do it. Because what I've found is that if people need to rationalize why they didn't do something, then basically they were in the wrong and they're just rationalizing. But if they know there was no way that they could have got from St. Louis to St. Paul because their ox broke its leg in half and they had to carry the ox on their back, they're not going to feel like they're being attacked when they have to say, you know what? We're not here 3 days ago because the ox broke his leg. You don't feel guilty. It's just what is. So we're going to learn how to impact and work with each other in only positive. Nobody gets to sit around and rationalize how come somebody licked all the red off of their candy. It doesn't do us any good. I'm excited about this group. You guys are cranking me up. Make me happy inside. Okay. Anyone else have something you want to throw in on that CD?
I do. This is Sherry.
Uh-huh.
What I like, there's a couple things. One, he talks about showing his recruits how to fish. He didn't just tell them to go fish. He showed them how to fish. And that's what I'm trying to work on is being able, you know, to teach people how to fish, that kind of thing. And then when he went through his list about, you know, all the things a good fisherman does, the very first thing was that you decide to go fishing. And I think that's something that every single day we have to decide every day, you know, when I get up, okay, today, you know, I'm not going to go, you know, think that I'm going to go
I don't know, clean my house, that that's more important than making my calls, or, you know, those kinds of things, that it's a decision every day that that's a must-do priority. And, you know, I heard a little talk yesterday. This isn't on the book, but I heard a talk in church yesterday, and this guy did this example with a bullseye. And he talked about the middle of the bullseye being the must-do things every single day that you have to do. And then the second layer of the bullseye going out is the things that you should do. And then the outside ring are the things that would be nice to do. And I think sometimes we do the things that would be nice to do before we do the middle of the bullseye. And so that's what I'm trying to do every day, is those bullseye things. And I think that's kind of what Ed was going through when he said, you know, decide to go fishing, that that's kind of the middle of the bullseye.
Very good. Can you all now begin to imagine that if you bring people into Nikan, some will be ready for this, the revelations that we have in this class, and some just aren't. But when you find some, how many of you would like to have them read the book and listen to that CD?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But what we want to remember is something that we're learning that's very important. This is really cool stuff. Your prospects, and let's say my daughter wants to get a car. Is my daughter going to buy that car based on whether it has dual overhead cam engines in it? Is she going to be interested in the differential or what the crash test was in Detroit? What do you think my daughter's going to want to buy the car based on?
Is it pretty? Does it feel good? Does she look good in it?
Yeah, and what's she imagining? She's imagining herself cruising down the road. How about the radio? Do you think that's going to be important?
Yes.
Do you think the color is important for a girl?
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe the interior will have something to do with it, right?
Of course.
So if you were going to be an assistant buyer for my daughter getting a car, how good would it do for you to sit around and rattle off all of the details of the type of tungsten steel that's in it?
None.
You won't sell the car, right?
No. Or?
So if we're going to sell Nikan, how good will it do if we walk around and tell people it's the largest healthcare provider in the country of Japan? Wouldn't it be better if we could say, you know what, if we could do this together, just think, 1 year from now, we could have the greatest, biggest blowout as you go pick up your daughter from daycare for the very last time. Which one carries more weight?
Second one. You're putting them in the car.
So as you guys go out and begin to start to, first, our first week, we talked to people and tried to make them happy, or at least feel validated, feel important within the world, that somebody really cared truly about them. The second week, we began to try to say, to start asking questions that would tie them back to, wow, you know what, it would be great to work with you. I don't know if this would be for you or not, but it sure be fun. Here are a couple of words that you're going to want to begin to learn when we talk about Nikan. Maybe it would be important, more important for us to say, for example, that we're going to make, has anybody ever heard the word opportunity thrown out there? If somebody calls you on the phone or they're talking to you and say, I got a great opportunity, we need to take a look at this. What do you think of immediately when you hear the word opportunity?
Scares me.
What was that?
Scares me. I think Amway. Sorry.
Oh, you think Amway.
Sorry.
Is there anybody else on here who thinks Amway when they hear the word opportunity?
Yep.
I hear sales.
Sales?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, my.
How many people really want to go into sales in this world?
Not many.
Not a very high percentage. So has anybody on this call ever said opportunity to somebody?
Oh, I have.
Oh, yeah.
This
And so you're fishing with cinnamon rolls?
Broccoli.
You're fishing with things that you like and not the fish?
Yeah.
Here's something to remember. This is really important. Is when you're fishing for new prospects, the prospect cares about looking cool. The prospect cares about making a life change to where they're a hero in their wife's eyes, or that they can be thought of with greater regard than they are today. That they can be a part of something that makes a difference. That they matter. All these different things is what that person wants to be in a part of. That's how they see themselves. Y'all with me on that?
Yeah.
So then we come in and say, we have FDA approved medical devices, and they go, huh? There's not a match here. So here's what a prospect wants to know. This is pretty interesting. They want to know stuff that will make them feel better, make them look better, make them cool, make them have more money so they can spend the time with their family. That's what they want to know. Immediately after they sign up, immediately, I mean, it's like so fast, it's hard to imagine. They go out and they spread that, and it's pretty cool because other people will listen to them. They go, God, your enthusiasm's great. I love what you're talking about. I believe you believe in what you're talking about. And then they get shot down for the first time. Somebody goes, is that one of them things?
It's a pyramid.
Or a pyramid or whatever. And they start freaking out, and they say, well, all right, now what do I need to look for? I need almost immediately to start looking for validation that will be just list and list and list of features and excuses and reasons why I can tell people I decided this was good, and I'm going to pack on to you 4,000 different reasons that will justify that it was a good decision for me to make to do this thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what you're going to find is that when you go to choose the things that you want somebody to see so that they will get Nikin, here's where most people get disconnected. They start choosing things that are very important to them at that moment. And what's important to them at that moment is that people think they're not an idiot. So they start choosing things that have lists and lists and lists of the features. And so I want you to go look at the things that you're going to refer your people to, and do they have those features, which are basically facts, or do they have the stuff that says, you're going to be so cool when you do this? And remember, that's the bait that the fish wants to take. Even though you've switched, the fish hasn't. We're going to take to the marketplace as a group, all of you, we're going to take things that make people dig being alive, that make people totally stoked about being a part of NECAN, because it fills in that picture for them. Not whether it was the fastest growing company in the history of Japan. What does that pertain to them? Unless you can come back and say, what that means is this is one big powerful deal that you can literally, once you get this thing set up, it's going to go and go and go, and you can go into your retirement years and not outlive your money. You can actually return this back to your kids. Why don't let's just start talking in those kinds of terms to make people feel like, man, I got to do this. Okay, you all ready for your homework?
Yes.
Okay, sharpen your pencils, because here it comes.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes.
It's Peggy. I just want to ask the group, too, for a prayer request for Wayne and Sherry.
Okay, hit me.
Their grandkids...
Describe the situation. Yeah, there you go.
Their grandkids were abducted by an unstable father, and because there's no adoption, no court papers, they're having a really hard time. And they just need all of our prayers and
They're wonderful.
This is a family in Yakima whose husband and wife were having a little bit of difficulty. The husband took off and was going to take the kids to Taiwan and said, "You'll never see them again."
Oh, right.
Left a note, and they're trying to get them back.
Oh, wow.
Right. What's the kid's name so we can have our home group and our church pray for him?
Ocean, and I don't have it before me right here. I'll call it to you.
Okay, thank you.
I'll send it to everybody. And,
yeah, just send it out in an email.
I'll send it out in an email to everybody, but I know they would appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
And yeah, hearing that.
That's the kind of heart that, you know, if we can come in and do good things on top of what we're doing, it just makes it a more powerful place to be, right?
Definitely.
We're with some great people, and thanks a lot for that, Peggy. Okay, so here's the homework assignment. The next book is like a little bathroom reader, 3- and 4-page chapters. So you're going to pop into this dude and read the first 4 chapters. It's called Building Your Network Marketing Business. One story at a time.
Hold on.
And that's by Michael Klaus. Yeah. And you're going to, for those of you who have figured it out and just go, oh, you know what? We're supposed to have these things ahead of time so we don't have to go out and try to find them. A lot of this stuff isn't going to be in your local bookstore. It's from Focus on Growth or Blue Ribbon Video, and there's kits that go along with the Pathfinder One. So for those who are listening in on the call, you can just go on, let's say, focusongrowth.com, go to the Pathfinder's materials, and it's called the Pathfinder One Pack, and they'll send out all the stuff that's appropriate for your Pathfinder One team. The CD that we're going to listen to is the one I actually referred to today called Building Your Network Marketing Business by Jim Rohn. So they're very similar titles in the book and the CD. So check around through your CDs. You're going to love this CD. It's going to be one of those that you listen to over and over and over again. Just an incredibly clever man, and he's also known as America's great business philosopher. So any last questions before we go off and conquer this week and grow a little more hair?
Yeah, I didn't, this is Sherry, I didn't get the email addresses of everybody. You said that mine kept bouncing back.
Yeah, well, I put in Sherry at something or other, right? Or
Sherry Edwards at mynecan.net.
Oh.
And Sherry is C-H-E-R-I.
Okay, what I did was I put the one on your card. At
that should be on the card.
Edwards at mynecan.net.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll get her done.
Awesome, thank you.
All right, hey, thank you all for sticking in. Find somebody else in the group. Within the next 2 weeks, we will be assigning you to teams of 3, so you'll have automatic support systems to get it done. If you bleed through the process here and it does become difficult, it'll just be a really cool story when you're standing on stage and saying, for all you people out there who want to be heard over, you're going to have to go through some stuff. And it's all about everybody makes it. And I'm honored to have you with us. This next, be prepared, because some of you are going to be shooting to go to Cancun. Anybody here volunteer just in case we have to have you?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, check out the front page of your NECAN homepage, and you can find that. And we do have Humans Being More training coming up in Spokane. If
that's
we
wonderful.
Get enough people to actually sign yourselves up and get on it, we've got to have the numbers up or they will cancel the class on us, and that's coming up July
21st and 22nd.
21st and 22nd, that's right.
What are the numbers you have to have?
We have to have 30.
30?
So make sure that you bring in all your people in and get ready to go to Humans Being More training. Once again, I got excessively exuberant with this group and went overtime. So I will actually have to go back and do my push-ups now.
Okay. You still appreciate it.
All right, junior hairy people. Okay. Don't make a difference. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Good night.
Bye. Bye.